from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I want to bomb it every time I hear number one receiver, to be honest with you. It drives me crazy. That's something that you guys talk about. I feel like we got a bunch of them. So I think the beauty of them is they're all capable of doing many things, which gives us a lot of versatility from an offensive perspective in terms of how we use these guys and deploy their talents.
Matt LaFleur, told you he said that. I want to vomit. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Beautiful day on the way today. Happy Tuesday.
All right. Favre was actually good. I get it. Someone sent me Hall of Fame, 11-time Pro Bowl, 3-time All-Pro, Super Bowl, AP All-MVP 3 times, other MVP stuff, Hall of Fame All-90s team, 95 AP Offensive Player of the Year, whatever the Burt Bell Award is. He wore one twice. There's a bunch of other stuff on here.
The Burt Bell Award. Who could forget?
I also did see him. I saw him be great. Honestly, I saw him be great like in Minnesota for that one year.
Yep.
Like for me, he's at the end of Green Bay, you know, those couple seasons, like 05, 06, 07, which is really when I'm like starting to like remember sports at like 10, 11, like 20 touchdowns, 29 picks, 18 touchdowns, 18 picks. Like the end in Green Bay wasn't great, but then he had that year in Minnesota. 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions as a 40-year-old in Minnesota for Favre. It's pretty good.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. Bills preseason rolls along. Joint practice on Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then a game against Pittsburgh. And they'll close out home against Carolina before getting off for Arizona and the Cardinals. You know, just re-upped our guillotine league here, Joe. Just now.
Nice.
Went to the motions,
okay.
Clicked it, paid the money, guillotine back on. That's a big step towards football season.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Schedule the draft?
Yes.
All right.
Just a random day at 8:30 p.m. Figure it out. You can be there. It's a guillotine.
I'm excited. You know, I should do that today, too, because I'm excited to send in the group chat, hey, guys, guillotine's back. This is the date, and watch everybody be like, okay.
Oh, people make it happen.
People will be... Super excited to see that.
It's also the only draft where auto draft is probably fine. It's the easiest auto draft league because the team you draft is totally different in 3-4 weeks. You know, you make some new moves if you make it. So auto draft is, you know, not exactly ideal, but it's less damaging. 803-0550. Okay, two other things. So we've talked about two things today. If you want to join us, you can. Hassan Reddick as an idea. If the Bills wanted to trade for Hassan Reddick, they can definitely fit him in like on the cap. This is not like Ayuk. His money, his cap hit is not bad. He's looking for a big contract extension, and that's why he's not showing up to Jets camp. That's why that's getting messy. The Jets GM issued a statement saying they're not going to trade him, and they told him that. Mm-hmm. And trading with the Jets is probably unlikely to impossible, but he is a guy that sacks the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He has this sixth most sacks in the last 4 years. We did a little instant trivia earlier behind Nick Bosa, Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Trey Hendrickson, and Micah Parsons. Then it's him, Hassan Reddick. Double digits for three different teams. And if the Bills wanted to hunt for a big-game defensive end, they could add him to this roster. He'd replace Kingsley Jonathan. He'd replace Casey Tuhill. He'd replace Dwayne Smoot. Anyway, if they wanted to, they could pursue it. We're kind of asking if you think that's a good idea. It would cost big money. But they can start spending big money on next year's team. Or if it's more of a, wait kind of thing. No rush to do anything right now. We know this is a transition year. That, we're also talking about Josh Allen's most memorable throw. He told Chris Long on the Greenlight podcast that his answer, it's funny, to the question and answer from Chris Long, what's your most memorable throw? I don't know how much time there was in between the question and Josh answering it, because he clips it in the highlight. So I wonder if on the actual, the raw feed of that, if he has the answer right away, or if he thinks, there's a lot, If he's walking around ready to say, oh, Jay Kumerow, Denver. That's kind of cool to know his favorite is that one where he threw it the hardest to fit it in a spot against a cover four. I mean, he's talking about the coverage that day and the coverage on that play, and pretty cool. So taking your calls on both those things, you want to share with us the most memorable Josh Allen throw for you? What's yours? The throw touchdown to Robert Foster is a good one. We've got lots of rolling to the sidelines and making something happen. The throw to Diggs on Thanksgiving in Detroit. And there's another one. I've had a couple people send one. At their own 2-yard line on Thanksgiving against Dallas, he climbs the pocket, works around, and finds Beasley.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the end zone angle of it is insane.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. And a lot of folks are commenting, all of these highlights are driving home how spoiled we are by arm strength and just, how good he can be when he's at his best.
Aren't the more impressive ones, too, these rainbows are beautiful, but him throwing a rocket at 95 miles per hour, there's something about those throws that just look extra special. Throws the ball faster than anyone in the league.
That's where if you went and watched a bunch of Favre highlights,
he throws the ball fast.
Yes, you would see. I mean, Elway was like this too, but you would see Favre and he is throwing missiles the same way that Allen does.
Yeah.
803-0550. So join us on any of that, and we'll have a good time here on a Tuesday. Anthony in Buffalo. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, guys. To answer that question, for me, the Josh Allen throw in the combine where he absolutely launched a 70-yard bomb to this guy, and you could just hear everybody in the crowd was like, oh, my gosh. It wasn't a game situation.
Sure.
I don't know if you guys ever watched the combine for that, but that was one of the most unbelievable throws I've ever seen from. All right. So I wanted to talk about the number one wide receiver. For me, I've been trying to search, but when a team has paid a number one wide receiver big money, what team? Or has that team won a Super Bowl when paying a big time receiver? I don't know that stat. I could find only 1,000-yard receivers that helped win a Super Bowl, but paying a big wide receiver as their number one guy, I just can't find any teams that have won the Super Bowl. So that's my question. Have a good day, guys, and go Bills.
Thanks, Anthony.
I think you'll find your way to a lot of them. Few of them. Not everybody. The last two Kansas City teams, but the previous Kansas City team, Tyreek Hill was on a big contract when they won the first one. Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin even. The Eagles won it. Alshon Jeffrey was a big contract that they got him to come over from Chicago for. You can find examples on not every team, but a lot of these teams. New England might be tougher to find. All those Patriots Super Bowl teams, did they have a super highly paid receiver? New England is someone that didn't often, but
I know it's not as easy as doing this, but I also think every conversation like this, we need to be able to say, can we just not count Brady and Mahomes?
Because they're so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quinn's not... Even though Mahomes, of course, had Tyreek Hill, and Brady had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski in his final season where he won the Super Bowl. Like, he was absolutely loaded. And those guys were good. I guess it comes down to what... This conversation, this point used to be made about quarterback. Oh, quarterback's on a big contract. They don't win. You better do it in their rookie contract because they're not going to win on their big contract. And then that was inevitably going to change. And it has changed. Mahomes has done it. I mean, Brady never had the big contract because reasons.
Stafford did it.
It used to be, you said this about quarterback. It was never going to be sustainable. And I think it's probably true of a lot of positions, right? Does anybody do this? I just like to point this out. We don't do this with defensive end. Has the big money defensive end ever paid off?
I do think we do it with running back a little bit, right? Well, isn't that still going? There's lists out there.
Running back is mainly the leading rusher never wins the Super Bowl.
Right. But no, it's Pacheco, and then it was Edwards-Helaire, and it was like C.J. Anderson.
But what you're looking for here is to line up. You're trying to thread a needle. One team wins the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Is everything that they've done the right formula to win one? Because if you want to include teams that lost the Super Bowl, last year, Deebo Samuel, big money receiver, and Brandon Ayuk, who's yet to be a big money, but he will be, and McCaffrey, big money running back, and Kittle, big money tight end, and Trent Williams, big money left tackle. I mean, the Niners spent money everywhere except for quarterback so far.
Right.
Yep. They lost in the Super Bowl. Who else lost in the Super Bowl? The Eagles, as we pointed out. How'd they lose? Not by much.
Right.
Julio Jones lost a Super Bowl. Was it his fault? That's 28-3.
He made an insane catch in that game.
He
actually did.
He only got targeted like twice in the second half, or twice after the midway point of the second quarter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you said you don't necessarily want to, like, almost, you want to put Mahomes and Brady to the side over here. Why is that? It's just because they're the GOATs, right?
Yep.
And maybe there is still this idea that Allen is like so close to those, that type of level of play, that it going into this year, like, maybe there's a thought of, okay, this is why this could be the same. Because, hey, those guys can do it without the super highly paid receiver. Those guys can do it without this and this and this because they're that good. Well, yeah, but so is Allen. And is he? Or is he the next best thing?
Until he wins a couple, he's the next best thing. He's got to win.
But is he someone?
He's got to win.
Is he someone that can win without those couple of things? And he might be.
Win how much?
Well, I mean, the start at one.
Right. Well, there's a point here on Allen. I think Warren Sharp yesterday tweeted out this number: percentage of quarterback pressures that turn into sacks.
Oh, I saw this. He's not surprising though. He's the best in the league.
The best in the league.
Best in the league.
This is so your quarterback gets pressured. How often does that become a sack? With Josh Allen, it's 10.3% of the time. That's the best in the league.
10% of pressures he gets.
Pressures. Yeah. So you pressure him. You try to get to him in a game.
And you're only bringing him down 1 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Mahomes is right there with him. By the way, Joe Flacco was good last year. So was Jared Goff and Geno Smith and Trevor Siemian. Who's the worst?
Daniel Jones?
Tommy DeVito was worst.
Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. Daniel Jones was second worst.
Yep. Not surprising.
I mean, the guys at the bottom, it's pretty clear. It's DeVito, Jones, Tannehill, Bryce Young, Zach Wilson, Bailey Zappi, Garoppolo, Sam Howell, Jake Browning, Easton Stick, you know. But whatever. Like, you don't have to pay a good receiver, but you have to have them. So the point about paying, I guess I don't know why I would do that.
That's the better way of looking. Like, who's one without talent at receiver?
Nobody.
The Chiefs.
If we're including
last year is like,
but if we're including pass catchers, if you're all hoping Kincaid becomes that guy, then a Hall of Fame tight end. Oh, you don't need a number one guy at that other position if you have a literal, in this case, top two of all time tight end.
Gronk and Kelsey. Yep. And otherwise, it's Kupp and Beckham. It's Evans and Godwin. It's, if I go further back, who's Denver's receivers? Is it Demaryius Thomas?
Yes.
And Eric Decker?
And Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh,
Don't sleep on Emmanuel Sanders. He was great.
Like, you've got top receivers all over. Not every time, but like you said, if you don't, then you have a Hall of Fame tight end or one of the best two of all time. So,
will Dalton Kincaid be as good as Kelsey?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I mean, four-time All-Pro. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the best tight ends ever. It's going to be him and Gronk, right?
They're both first ballot Hall of Famers.
First ballot Hall of Famers. I mean, he had a run of 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons before last year, and he got to 984, missing 2 games, and with an injury at training camp that he maybe was dealing with all year, and yep, he still missed it by 16 yards.
He's good.
Can he retire already?
He was good, by the way, and he put up those numbers before Mahomes showed up. Like, he was putting,
with Alex Smith.
He was putting up those numbers.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, Mahomes made him better. Anyway, thanks, Anthony, for the phone call. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The kickoff. Kyle Shanahan says about the kickoff. I was listening to Shope and Bulldog yesterday, and Bulldog was especially, the theory is, once we get to the regular season, we will not see the kickoffs as often returned because teams are going to just take a touchback. The kicking team is going to try and blast it in the end zone for a touchback, which, of course,
the kicking team is going to
try. Yes, that's right. You're just going to try and kick it deep or kick it through the back of the end zone or deep enough that team is not going to bring it out, which is very possible.
And what is the genesis of, what did Kyle Shanahan say about this? Because I saw yesterday that the average starting field position, this is from Michael Lopez, who does data at the NFL, well, for the NFL, and he tweeted out that average field position on kickoffs this year is the 28.5.
Okay.
And where's the touchback?
30.
The 30. So I know it's only a yard and a half, but in the preseason so far, the kicking team is doing better when the kick is brought out, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what that means. But is it so minuscule that they just don't want to deal with it?
A yard and a half.
A yard and a half?
I don't have to risk giving up a 20-yard or whatever, a 50-yard return, a 70-yard return in exchange for a yard and a half.
Uh-huh.
So Shanahan said about the idea of kicking it deep, quote, it's a hell of an idea. And, like, don't put the ball in play. We're all talking about that. It looks like it'll make a lot of sense once the season starts. But this was our first week with us doing it. It's our first week really getting more teams, besides the Hall of Fame game, to evaluate it. When you can start there at the 30 and the average starting line's the 29, it doesn't seem like there's that much of a distance to really go with the risk of it.
Yeah.
That's the thing here. I don't even think you can really judge the average starting field position in the preseason because teams are doing this and experimenting. This is the trial period. Once we get to week one and start to see actual kickoffs, actual kick, pinning it in a corner or trying to drop it in a spot, or of course, you know, kicking it through the end zone, I think you'll get your kick return numbers up.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't be, what are we at, like 88% of kicks have been returned? It's above 85%.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is great for the preseason. Let's all get a look at this. Let's all see what we've got. And then in the regular season, it might be a little bit of a letdown. One would wonder.
Scoring should be up if in general, though, here, right? Like, why? Average, just for field position purposes. Last year, average starting field percentage was 23.8. And now it's the 28. Like, we're talking about a 5-yard difference,
well,
that every team is starting with at the beginning of their drives.
You're saying last year was the 23?
Last year was just before the 24. Yeah.
Not the preseason, but the whole season.
No, that was the preseason.
Okay, last year preseason 24, now it's 29.
Well, but touchbacks last year were the 25 and now they're the 30. So shouldn't it still be about a 5-yard difference?
Yeah.
So how many times are teams going to be 5 yards closer to field goal range and now they kick a field goal? Or how many times are coaches going to decide, okay, well, you know, we have the same drive that we did a year ago, the same plays, the same success rate. And last year we would have been standing at our own 45, so I'm not going to go for 4th and 2. But now I'm at midfield, so now I'm going to go for it. Your rate of going for 4th downs might be higher. Your rate of being in field goal range is going to be higher. So shouldn't that just mean scoring is going to be up? A little bit? Just a little bit?
I mean, I don't know how much. 5 yards is going to lead to an uptick in scoring.
You'll have that many more plays in a field goal spot. You'll have that many more coaches that'll be willing to go for it.
Maybe. The thing I would wonder about all of this is, you know, you're asking, will you kick it out of the end zone? Will you go to coverage? It depends. We haven't seen the sample size of enough kicks where a coach knows how much risk they're at. Like, sensitive subject, but let me do this if I may. 13 seconds. McDermott, in the moment there, deciding what they want to do. Kick it deep. You could squib. Try to drop it at the one. Whatever decision is made, let's forget for a moment the outcome of the game. The decision that is made by the head coach or any head coach in a spot like that is, I've been watching kickoffs for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a coach here and I'm in on the meetings with him and we all know what to do based on, maybe it's not even 50 years, but you know what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. It has been a lifetime of kickoffs like this.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to start the playoffs tomorrow, how would teams approach it? You'd have to guess. I really don't know what percentage of our kicks are broken for 20-plus yard advantages for the return team. Mm-hmm. I don't know the likelihood of an explosive return until we get 200 returns under our belt. Then I'll have a better idea. A good comparison here, Joe, is this was the first year the overtime format in the Super Bowl was the way that it was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Both teams get... And what happened? Kyle Shanahan said, we will take the ball.
Yep.
Which some thought to be a horrendous mistake.
And then kicked a field goal.
And then kicked a field goal. But even doing that, you know, a lot of the numbers people crunched the numbers and said it really is a 50-50. You could kick. You could take the ball. You could do whichever you want. We only have how many trials of it? We have one. Mm-hmm. So he was mocked for it. I thought he made a fine call. 50-50 was not a guarantee Mahomes was going to score a touchdown. Of course they did because they always do. It was not a guarantee. And, you know, in that moment, he thought, I'll go. If we kick and hold them to a kick, then I have sudden death in the ball. So 200 versions of that, we might get. Actually, you know what? The team that gets the ball first, even in the new format, loses 68% of the time. He would have that, and he would know the analytics of it. Right now, you just crunch numbers and simulations.
Right.
And for the kickoff game, I feel like right now you're doing the same thing. We don't even have the data to work on. So,
because you don't even have the data of like the human element of
nope.
it. Like, you don't have the data that says, okay, like I kick the field goal here, and 95% of the time, that guy's never kicked. The next coach isn't kicking the field goal. He's never giving me the ball back with a tie game. He's going to go for every 4th down because he's going touchdown or bust.
Even 4th and 7 at the 40.
Because he knows if I kick the field goal, all you need now is a field goal to win the football game. And you don't have data on that. You don't have.
You could have a guess, but you don't have. Right, you don't have the data on that, and you don't have the data on not special teamers that are. Let's be honest, a lot of them are not NFL players right now.
Yeah. So then it comes down to your gut.
Right. Early on.
Kickoff early on, it's going to be. I mean, they're going to try, though, aren't they? You think a lot. So maybe some teams will do this, but how many teams are going to show up and, like, we're not even going to try to have an advantage at this? Because I wonder, too, even right now, like, this. How good are these numbers where, okay, touchbacks at the 30, but the average starts at the 28.5? Do I know right now that these teams in the preseason are even trying their stuff that they're going to use in the regular season?
Exactly. You don't.
So
you don't know the coverage teams are. You don't know if the return teams are.
I've almost landed on, like, I was excited for this preseason to see the kickoff stuff, and it's been cool and unique, but I feel like I can't even learn anything. Like, I kind of got to throw it all out, because are they even trying what they're going to end up doing? Or are they just, hey, can we get through the preseason without showing what we're actually trying to do, like blocking-wise and, you know, with our returners, certain plays we might try, gap stuff. I feel like I almost can't even, this is the preseason pledge. You just can't count it.
803-0550. See, keep that pledge. Keep that pledge close. Best shot ever. Sorry, watching Get Up on ESPN, they're discussing
what's the best shot ever.
If Curry's shot was the best shot ever. No.
I mean, it's great, but it's... Of course they're asking. They're asking if it's the best shot ever.
I mean, listen, it was a pretty...
It's an amazing shot.
It was a great shot, and it was the fourth in a row that he hit. Weren't they already up, like, 9?
That was the golden dagger.
The golden dagger?
That put him up 12, I think, yeah.
Okay, being up 9 with 30 seconds left is in doubt?
I wouldn't... Call it the best shot ever.
Greatest shot ever was
Jordan
against Utah.
Just what came to mind for me.
Give me a Derek Fisher against the Spurs.
Oh, that's a good one.
There's not even enough time physically to have gotten a shot off, and he did.
He made it.
There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
803-0550.
By the way, someone tweeted this in the last break for Allen's most memorable throw or most impressive throw, however you want to go about it. The Allen to John Brown throw where Brown toasted Stephon Gilmore in New England. It's a good one. If you watch that playback, Allen, like, it's a play action play where New England doesn't bite, and Allen's got two Patriots coming right at him, and he's on his back foot. He throws the ball, like, in the air 40 yards right in a bucket to John Brown. It's a good one. Not one of those early ones you may have forgotten about.
Yeah.
Also, Will Levis is in a Hellman's Mayo commercial that is very terrifying.
He's the guy that puts mayo in his coffee.
Yeah, like this. And they seemingly knew this because this commercial features, I think it features Will Levis drinking the mayo straight out of the can.
Can you tell me this?
First off, there's a jar.
There's a can of mayo.
It also features Will Levis laying on the turf, dipping his finger in the mayo, and then eating it off his finger.
Are they trying to sell?
I think they're trying to
sell mayo or make us never want to eat mayo again.
I don't know. I think they're trying to make us. I don't know what's going on. There's a lot going on in this commercial.
Meanwhile, Levis, I saw some of his preseason highlights, and he did the Will Levis thing that he does. We need Will Levis in prime time.
Why would he do? He like tried to
smash through 5 linebackers.
Yeah, yeah.
In the open field.
Yep.
Will Levis. If you are someone that likes watching Josh run like that, but you fear him getting hurt, you can get your fix by watching Will Levis because there's not any fear as a Bills fan.
Yeah.
And he's still the guy running like an insane person.
Yep. Yep.
It's awesome. All right. 803-0550 to join us. Matt Waldman, rookie scouting portfolio coming up at 9:00. Don't miss it. Good deep dive into Keon Coleman and all the strengths he has and how the Bills can use them going forward this year. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.